Okay, let's go to our teaching. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'll be working out of there. Verses 20 through 40, sort of. If you want to look in there. In 1 Kings 17, 1, and for the second time in chapter 18, 15, Elijah makes a declaration that revealed the source of his power, but also the reason for his obedience to the word of God. We have no greater thing to do as the disciples of our Lord Yeshua than what Yeshua taught and lived daily, and that was obedience to the Father. There's nothing else that we need to do. Elijah was not afraid to meet King Ahab. On the contrary, Elijah was the one who gave the orders to the king. In verse 19, he said, "Gather to me all Israel on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal." Or some of you say Baal. Amazingly, Ahab obeyed and sent all the children of Israel and the prophets of Baal to the mountain. We see the issue of this great gathering revealed in Elijah's prayer. It starts in verse 36. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." At this moment when Elijah seemed to be standing alone in front of all the people of Israel, he knew he was also standing in the presence of his Almighty God, doing his will, speaking his word, and legions of angels were behind him. Although Elijah was only a man subject to like passions as we are, according to James 5:17, nevertheless, he was the man God had chosen for that hour, full of faith, full of spiritual power. On this day, he was doing nothing on his own, but rather saying only the words he heard from his Lord. So on this day, he proclaimed seven words to his people. And the first words are in verse 21, where he reproved the nation. "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Elijah had not a single doubt that God is the only God. But he wanted to awaken the conviction of the people to the absurdity that Baal could be God. For us also, we need to put a similar question to ourselves. Who or what is God? I.e., who or what has predominance in our lives? Faith is a repeated choice at every moment, God or I, regarding what takes priority in our plans, our goals, our decisions. There is a diametrical opposition between God and our ego. I love the word ego. It means edging God out. It's an acronym. There is a conflict between them. Both cannot be right. We must then realize the absurdity of not setting the Lord God as our first priority. Otherwise, we're just joking with ourselves. Even in the work of the Lord, what is not done out of his perfect will in his perfect time and in his perfect way is a building that's made out of straw. And what happened to that in that story? It will not stand the test at the judgment seat of Christ. And as the people of Israel answered not a word to Elijah, then also in that day our mouths will be closed. Second of the seven words is in verse 24. Elijah proposes, "And you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God." So the people accepted the challenge, and in doing so, they accept its outcome also. Once you accept the challenge, you accept the outcome. This day was the day of salvation for Israel to come back fully to God and to declare him as Lord in their lives. When we are in the midst of our difficulties and our problems and fully seek the presence and the will of the God, of the Lord, he will answer, and he will never deceive us. Elijah was trying to speak to the conscience of Israel. to bring them to a personal encounter with their God. As for the prophets of Baal, they had made a choice, and as with Pharaoh, God left them in their blindness. God has manifested himself so often by fire. For example, in Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." He also revealed himself to Moses at Horeb in a burning bush in Exodus 3:2, right? During the 40 years in the desert, God was Israel's light through the pillar of fire. He used fire with many others like Gideon and Elisha. This answer by fire was to be the revelation of the Lord God of Israel before whom Elijah stood. Guess what? God does not change. He keeps his promises. And the God of Elijah is our God from whom nothing is impossible. We must learn again and again to see all our circumstances and conditions through his power to control our lives. He wants to be known personally to all of us and be glorified through us even in death. The joy of our Lord is our strength. Okay, number three, Elijah mockingly admonished the priests of Baal in verse 27, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping, and he must be awakened. Naturally, there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded." But to us, God makes his voice to be heard. He answers our prayers. He pays attention to everything that concerns us. Right? There is not a day when he is not looking at us. He keeps close to us. So let us keep close to him. Number four, in verse 30, Elijah's next word was an invitation that said, "Come near to me." Note the change from verse 21. When Elijah said, "came near to all the people," now he's saying, "come near to me." Here, at his invitation, the people closed the gap and gathered around him. Yeshua calls to each one of us, "come to me." Right? Not only when we are in trouble, but every day. God loves this nearness, and so should we. Psalm 73, verse 28. "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works." And Hebrews 4:16 instructs us, "Therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Once the people were around him, Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. The priests of Baal had broken down this altar and scattered its stones. Interestingly, the Hebrew literally says, "and he healed the altar." Elijah saw it as being sick. This is a great image of the present spiritual condition of Israel and what the Lord will be doing one day when he heals the wounds of his chosen nation. As it is written in the Torah in Exodus 15:26, God says to Israel, "I am the Lord your healer." Thus Elijah took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel to whom the word of the Lord came saying, "Israel shall be your name." Right? Yaakov. Today, more than ever, the noise of war against Israel is heard among the Muslim nations who think they will finally be able to destroy Israel once and for all. We can do this. Yeah, certainly, they were not the first people to get this bright idea. It's happened before, believe me, throughout history. You just got to read the books. But God swore that Israel will be a nation for as long as the earth stands, according to Jeremiah 31:36. They don't read that part of the Bible, do they? God will never replace Israel as his chosen people with any other nation. Even at the end of the age, Yochanan testifies in his vision in Revelation 7:4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Not the Brooklynites known as the Jehovah Witnesses. The sons of Israel. And you, Gentiles, y'all need to be glad about this. If God does not fulfill His promises to Israel, I think it would call into question the promises He's made to y'all. Who wants a God that doesn't keep His promises? What a terrible blow to our faith that would be. One day Yeshua will say again to His people, "Come near to me." And then will take place what is written in Zechariah 12:10. "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him." Oh, what a beautiful day that's going to be. "As one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him, like the bitter weeping over a firstborn." And in that day, Romans 11:26 says, all Israel will be saved. Hallelujah. I yearn and long for that day. In this word, Elijah wanted to ensure that no doubt could arise in the hearts of the nations concerning the real manifestation of the power and presence of God and His intervention by fire. He asked the people to fill 4 barrels full of water and pour them on the offering and on the wood, and He asked them to do it 3 times. Then some time passed. What was He waiting for? Verse 36 says, this is number 5, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near." Elijah waited for the time of the sacrifice that was appointed by God. We have to remember that it is not enough for us to know the will of God for our lives, but we must also wait for His timing. Just because you will something doesn't mean it should be done now. It was said to King Saul when he offered the sacrifice before the coming of Samuel in 1 Samuel 13:13, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God." And then we get to number 6. Verse 36, the prayer of Elijah. First and foremost, he wanted God to be glorified, making known to all present that He is the God in Israel and that there is no other God. Let us think about that. If God is our God and we want to develop a real relationship with Him, then we have to put ourselves on the cross of Calvary as a living sacrifice. If you don't do that, you're not going to know God. You're not going to meet Him. As Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Yeshua, and it is no longer I who live, but Yeshua lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." A lot of you know it by heart. And as a consequence of that, we will be able to say with Elijah, "I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word." We are not free to fulfill our own plans and or to do and say anything other than what we have seen and heard from our Father. And the final word was one of judgment. It's in verse 40. Number 7, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." The newly repentant people obeyed and brought them to Elijah to be put to death. Thus they cleansed the land of these false prophets. Guess what? Judgment is coming. But today is still the day of salvation. Still have time. The day of coming closer to our Father. May we come to know the full blessing He has for each of us. And let us do it quickly, because that day of judgment is coming. It's coming sooner than the world knows. And the world could be playing their games, their stupid political games. They could be playing them all the time. You know what the United States needs that the Boy Scouts have? adult leadership. I'm sorry, but everybody in Congress is not very bright. I'm sorry. I don't think they're with it. I think, you know the difference between a politician and a statesman? A statesman is someone you believe in and you could admire and follow. And the only statesman I know is Benjamin Netanyahu. It's the only one that I admire as a person who stands up for his rights. He does a Bible study every Shabbat in his house. And he has the best minds in Israel come in there, rabbis, to sit at his Bible study at his table. What kind of leader does that? Huh? And he may not know Yeshua personally, but I'll bet he knows who Yeshua is. And I think that that man is destined to be here at this time. The rest of them, they're all just politicians. Don't trust them all. And so, watch the heavens for the signs, because it's getting closer. Pray and restore the people. Talk to everyone you know about what's coming. We are so blessed because this Shabbat is the Shabbat before the new inauguration of the United States President on Monday. And the Messianic believers of this world have been so blessed because one of our own has been asked to give the keynote speech at the inaugural evangelical prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. on Monday morning. His name is Jonathan Kahn. And Jonathan was at our service in Orlando. And we all laid hands on him to bless him. And then we were so excited that he was chosen. He also has sold 1 million books called The Harbinger. 1 million as of last week. And they had a big celebration about that, too. His book is still on the New York Times bestseller list, and they're calling him a modern-day prophet, you know. I don't know if we can go that far, but he is awesome to know that one of our own, and I don't, there's no jealousy or anything there. I feel like I'm part of what's going to happen Monday because I am a messianic believer. And one of our own was chosen to give the keynote speech at the biggest evangelical prayer breakfast there is in the world. And that's exciting. Jonathan is in a unique position to make a major declaration for Yeshua. I'm excited. And you should pray. I don't know what time the breakfast is, but I suppose it's early in the morning. And they're an hour ahead of us. So when you get up, start praying for Jonathan that he deliver the speech of his life.